You've earned your seat. You know how this works from one side of the door. But have you ever wondered what's actually happening on the other side? I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar. And today we're talking money, cabins, and the surprisingly complicated world of getting yourself into first class at the last minute. Before we get into it, a quick word from today's sponsor, AviationSoul.com. These are aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, the discipline, and the pride behind every step in flight. From first solo all the way to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about the front of the airplane. Most of us who fly as passengers have been there. You're checked in, you're at the gate, and you glance up at the board. Row 1, row 2. A handful of seats still showing open in first class, and you think, what would it cost? The answer, according to a recent piece from Simple Flying, is it depends, significantly. And the factors driving that number are worth understanding because they tell you something real about how airlines think and how they make money. Here's the baseline. Upgrade pricing at check-in is not static. It is not a fixed fee that the airline posts and you pay. It is a dynamic number generated by a revenue management system that is constantly recalculating based on demand. Time to departure, load factors in both cabins, your loyalty status, and sometimes the specific route. Think of it like weather. The forecast changes the closer you get to departure. And just like weather, the trend can go either direction on shorter domestic routes. Last-minute upgrades at the gate can run anywhere from $50 to a few hundred on transcon flights. Coast to coast, that number can jump to $500, $600, sometimes more. On international business class, you're often looking at four figures or nothing. The airline knows that seat has value, and they're not giving it away the night before wheels up. But here's what makes it interesting from an industry standpoint. The airline is running a constant calculation between two bad outcomes. Outcome one, they let that first class seat go empty. Pure lost revenue. That seat cost money to install, maintain, and market. If nobody's in it, they got nothing. Outcome two, they sell it too cheap and undercut their own direct booking business. If gate upgrades are always a steal, smart passengers stop booking first class in advance. The whole pricing structure starts to erode. So what they're doing at the gate is threading that needle. They want to capture some revenue from that empty seat without cannibalizing their premium cabin business model. It's a tightrope, and the algorithm is walking it in real time. Now, your loyalty status plays a significant role in what you get offered and when. The major carriers all have tiered frequent flyer programs, and the higher your status, the earlier you get access to complimentary or discounted upgrades. Some carriers will clear elite members into first class as early as 120 hours before departure. Others don't open it up until check-in, and others run a bidding system where you submit an offer and find out at the gate whether it was accepted. The bidding model is worth talking about because it's become more common. Airlines, including United and Lufthansa, have used bid-based upgrade systems where you name a price. The system collects bids across the passenger list, and it decides who gets the seat based on who offered what. You don't know what others bid. You're essentially guessing at a clearing price. Some frequent travelers track these patterns and bid accordingly. Others just throw in a number and hope. Here's what you need to know if you're trying to work this system. The sweet spot for availability is usually at check-in, 24 hours before departure, or right at the gate itself. Those are the moments when the airline has finalized its load projections and knows exactly how many seats it's trying to fill. If first class isn't sold out by check-in, the algorithm gets more aggressive. Route matters more than most people realize. A Tuesday morning flight from a mid-sized hub to a secondary market? Different math than a Friday afternoon departure out of a major airport to a leisure destination. Business travel routes where passengers book late and pay full fare tend to have tighter inventory and less upgrade availability. Leisure routes, where people planned ahead and bought economy 6 months ago, may have more open premium seats with nowhere else to go. The airline is also factoring in how many connecting passengers are incoming. If there's a wave of international arrivals feeding into your flight, and some of them hold higher status than you, those seats may get swept up before you ever get to the gate. That's not bad luck. That's the system working as designed. Now, from the pilot's perspective, and I say this as someone who sat on both sides of that cockpit door, the economics of the premium cabin are not a peripheral concern. They're central to the airline's financial health. First class and business class, which represent a small fraction of total seats on most narrow-body aircraft, can represent a disproportionately large share of revenue on a given flight. On a transcontinental or international route, the front cabin can generate as much as 40 or 50% of total ticket revenue for maybe 15 to 20% of the seats. That ratio is why airlines invest so heavily in premium product. The lie-flat seats, the meal service, the dedicated check-in lanes. It's not hospitality for its own sake. It's a calculated investment in a revenue segment that punches above its weight. And it's why airlines are cautious about discounting that cabin too aggressively, even at the gate. Every deeply discounted upgrade chips away at the margin that makes those seats economically viable. For the pilot community specifically, there's a layer here worth noting. Positive space travel for active employees is a different universe from revenue passenger upgrades. Deadheading crews, repositioning flights, company travel all operate outside the standard revenue management system. But for anyone flying on personal travel or pass benefits, you're back in the same queue as everyone else, working with the same dynamic. There's also the question of points and miles. Most major carriers allow you to use frequent flyer miles or points to upgrade at or before check-in, and the redemption rates vary wildly. Some upgrades cost 15,000 miles on a short hop, others are 100,000 on a long haul. The relative value depends on what you paid for the base ticket and what the cash upgrade would have cost. Running that math before you hand over points is worth doing, because sometimes cash is the better deal and sometimes miles are the clear winner. The credit card angle matters too. Co-branded airline credit cards often come with upgrade certificates that can be applied within a window before departure. These are not the same as complimentary elite upgrades. They're a separate inventory with separate rules, and they sometimes require a specific fare class to apply. Reading the fine print on those certificates has saved more than a few passengers from a surprise denial at the gate. If you're the kind of person who travels enough to think strategically about this, the Simple Flying Breakdown puts it plainly. There is no single answer to how much a first-class upgrade costs because the airline doesn't want there to be a single answer. Variability serves them. Opacity serves them. Your willingness to bid, guess, or just ask at the gate is part of how they extract maximum value from an inventory that expires the moment the door closes. That last point is worth sitting with. An airline seat is the most perishable product in commercial enterprise. The moment that door closes, every empty seat is gone forever. No returns, no shelf life, no salvage value. That reality drives the entire pricing architecture you're navigating when you step up to the gate and ask what it'll cost to move up front. So, what can you actually do with all this? A few things. Check in exactly at the 24-hour mark if your carrier opens upgrades, then that's when the picture clarifies. Status holders who are going to get complimentary upgrades will get them. What's left becomes available for purchase or bid. Know your route. If you're on a leisure market or an off-peak departure, availability will be higher. If you're on a peak business route, don't count on it. Watch the bid window. If your carrier uses a bidding system, put in a reasonable number based on what you'd actually pay. Not a lowball hoping to get lucky. Airlines have told passengers their bid didn't meet the minimum. You won't know the minimum, but you can research typical clearing prices on forums where frequent travelers track this stuff. And sometimes, just ask. Gate agents have discretion in some situations. Not always, not on every airline, but a polite low-pressure ask has worked for people, particularly if you have status, a connection to make a genuine situation, or just good timing with a friendly face at the counter. The system is designed to be opaque, but it's not random. There's logic underneath it. Understanding that logic doesn't guarantee you anything, but it puts you in a better position than going in blind. That's the story from Simple Flying, and it's worth a read if you want to dig into the specifics by carrier. Find us at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower, safe flying.